You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
After your nation won its freedom in the Rose Revolution, America came to the aid of this courageous young democracy. We are doing so again as you work to overcome an invasion of your sovereign territory and an illegitimate unilateral attempt to change your country's borders by force that has been universally condemned by the free world.
That's Vice President Dick Cheney in the Republic of Georgia today, promising U.S. support to rebuild the former Soviet nation and urging the free world to rally support behind the country. His trip through the region comes a day after the White House announced a billion-dollar aid package to Georgia following its clash with Russia last month. Joining us for more is Jonathan Marcus, a BBC diplomatic correspondent coming to us from London. Good morning, Jonathan. So the U.S. is backing up its words of support with $1 billion. Practically speaking, how significant is it?
I think it's significant. It's a large sum of money, obviously. There is a pressing need. The money's going to go on things like resettling refugees, rebuilding a lot of Georgia's infrastructure, which has been destroyed quite deliberately in some cases by the Russian forces when they were in the country. Obviously, the Russian forces are not wholly left yet, and that's a pressing problem. I think one of the more interesting things is the U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, when she was announcing this package yesterday, stressed that she hoped that this would be a continuing relationship of aid, that it would be a package that would be backed by whoever comes into the White House next year. And I think that message of continuing support for Georgia from the United States is clearly a message that Washington wants to be heard very loud and clear in Moscow.
And Cheney certainly threw a barb in there where he called Russia's attempt to change the borders of Georgia illegitimate.
Indeed, Bob. The trouble is, of course, that by and large, the West's reaction to Russia's actions in Georgia has largely been rhetorical. It's largely been words. Yes, there has been support diplomatically. Yes, there has been practical support in the terms of finance and money and so on. But practically, the Russians still seem to retain the whip hand. Their forces are still inside parts of Georgia. They have obviously accepted the independence, recognized the independence of these two separatist regions, South Ossetia and Abkhazia. I think most people you speak to have no doubt that those two areas are not going to go back to Georgian control anytime soon, if ever, in fact. So the West, in a sense, has few practical levers it can pull. I think one of the more interesting things that was not in this latest aid package for Georgia mm-hmm. is the question of military support. Obviously, when NATO ministers met a few weeks ago, there was talk about the need to rebuild Georgia's military infrastructure, to rearm and so on. I think that is really going to be the thing that causes problems with Moscow. So far, the Americans haven't yet made clear what plans they have to help rebuild Georgia's shattered military.
But that certainly hasn't stopped Russia from accusing the United States from helping Georgia to rearm through aid shipments.
That's true. Again, there's a lot of rhetoric on the Russian side. I don't think there's any particular evidence at all that these naval vessels or the Coast Guard vessel involved have been supplying arms. All the evidence suggests they were indeed doing, as the Americans said, supplying humanitarian aid. Clearly, the fact that the Americans have put these ships into the Black Sea is interesting. That's a kind of signal in itself to the Russians that the Russians shouldn't solely regard this as they do as their own backyard. But, you know, given the location of Georgia, given the proximity to Russia, given the balance of forces in the region, it's very hard to see in practical terms what more the Americans can do.
Well, Jonathan, let's explore that a little bit. I mean, on the one hand, is it possible, or as a diplomatic correspondent, what is the likelihood that behind closed doors, Saakashvili said to Cheney, you know, thanks so much for your infrastructure support, but, you know, I'd really like the tanks. And on the Russian side, is it possible they're looking for some sort of pretext here, that if they detect even the smallest evidence of arms coming in, that they're going to escalate on their side?
Well, I think this round of fighting is over for now, and I think the Russians have pretty well got what they wanted. As far as the Europeans are concerned, they genuinely thought the Russians were on the road to Tbilisi, the Georgian capital, and to that extent, you know, while the French initiative to halt the fighting has been criticised in many quarters as having been threadbare and not having been thought through sufficiently, as no doubt the Russians have driven a coach and horses through it, the fact is that it did halt the fighting, and you know, perhaps this could have led to you know, a takeover of the Georgian capital and the overthrow by force of President Saakashvili's government. Now, as far as the Americans and arms sales go, I think there is no doubt that there will be American arms sales. There will be maybe arms sales from other Western countries. The problem, of course, is to calibrate what it is that Georgia requires. The emphasis will clearly be on defensive weapons. Up to now, most of the American support has been directed at training and equipping the Georgian forces who have been operating, for example, in Iraq alongside U.S. forces.
And Jonathan, how closely do you understand the U.S. and Europe to be coordinating in their response to what's gone on in Russia and Georgia the past month?
Well, there's close coordination, but there are clearly very significant differences in their appraisal of the situation. It's not really simply a Europe versus the United States argument. There are a number of countries in Europe, Britain to a large extent, Poland, the Baltic republics, who really want quite a tough line towards Russia. They echo to an extent the sorts of views that we're hearing from Vice President Dick Cheney and from other spokespeople in the United States. There are other European countries who are more, if you like, in the centre, the French, the Germans a little uneasy, some who take a much softer view towards Russia, the Italians, some of the southern European countries.
Jonathan Marcus, thank you for that update. Jonathan Marcus is a BBC diplomatic correspondent, and he was reporting to us from London. And now we turn to Femi Oke, who's got the latest headlines. Femi?
Thank you very much, Adore. Just coming up to 29 minutes past the hour.